All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 2 of Nerds Be Heard podcast. This week, we're going to talk about episode 2 of Falcon and the Winter Soldier called The Star-Spangled Man. And a lot to digest, a lot to get into, but another really solid episode in what's turning out to be a really great show. What were your thoughts, Charlie?
Yeah, I mean, I love this episode just as much as I liked the first one. And I liked how it, you know, the first episode ended on a cliffhanger where the world is introduced to the new Captain America. And I thought it was great that it started right off learning about John Walker and what he's all about. I really liked that they did that, that we hit the ground running.
Absolutely. So I guess before we dive into the episode this week, there was a lot of news in the nerdverse this week. You and I were texting a lot this week, just back and forth on all the fun news that was released, ranging from all the things in Marvel, a lot of things in the Snyderverse and DC after the release of the Snyder Cut, which was epic beyond any proportion in the DC universe, I guess, thus far. And then a couple things in Star Wars picking up, heating up. But yeah, I guess this week, what excited you the most? There was a lot of news out there.
So the thing that excited me the most, which is not necessarily new news, but it's the first time you've actually heard the person that this rumor is about speak about it, is actually involving Sebastian Stan. He's been fan casted to be the new Luke Skywalker by, you know, tons of people. Even Boss Logic has made for those of you who don't know who he is, he makes a lot of awesome fan art, and he has made one with Sebastian Stan being Luke Skywalker. I mean, he really has a very canny look of a young Mark Hamill. So, I mean, I personally think it would be an amazing casting. And for those who aren't aware, so spoiler alert, but the end of Mandalorian season 2, we saw that Luke Skywalker was the Jedi to come and get Grogu. And it actually was done with a digital recreation of Mark Hamill's face. So, you know, a lot of people have said, do we want to continue with that, or do we want to get a new actor? I go back and forth. I mean, they did a good job with this, you know, the CGI facial recognition, but I do think having someone like Sebastian Stan would be better, because I would like to see the person do the entire performance, because for those of you that didn't know this, I mean, that was not Mark Hamill actually acting in that scene. So Sebastian Stan was brought up. This was brought to his attention during some press for Falcon the Winter Soldier. And, you know, he didn't confirm or deny, but basically what he said was, you know, if Mark Hamill would personally give me a phone call and say, hey, I want you to be Luke Skywalker, why the hell not? So that would excite me. I don't know. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, honestly, the timing is perfect for this news to heat back up. I heard this rumor over a year ago, or maybe a year ago when they first heard somebody before Boss Logic even, you know, caught wind of it. Somebody basically pointed out how Mark Hamill and Sebastian Stan look alike. Sebastian Stan looks like a young Mark Hamill. And honestly, before Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I wasn't all about it. Episode 2 of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Sebastian Stan has his star has risen in terms of my opinion of him. I think he's doing a phenomenal job. I think he's got the acting chops. So now, I'm like a renewed Sebastian Stan fan. Even though I've always loved the Winter Soldier as a character, again, I've always been vocal about this. I didn't think he had Sebastian Stan as an actor didn't have enough lines to really convince me. But now that he has, spoiler alert for episode 2, in my opinion, he sold me. I love the idea, and we need to replace CGI.
We know you're not a CGI fan.
I'm not a CGI fan. And honestly, I've seen fan edits of that Luke Skywalker cameo in Mando that were way better than the episode itself. And honestly, that was awesome. And Mando, you're aware of my opinion of Mando. I was kind of like half in, half out on that series. And that episode, the last string of episodes in season two of Mando, just I'm on that train, and I'm on the whole Star Wars Disney Plus train. What an epic scene that was. I would have preferred it be Sebastian Stan. So I am all in on that. I want him to have his own series, or at least do cameos in some of the other announced Disney Plus series or season three of Mando. I think it'd be awesome.
Great.
And then, I guess, now's probably a good time just to reiterate, you know, my last name means the master, right?
Yes.
Do you know what that means? Do you recognize as a nerd what that means?
Well, explain to everyone, Matt.
It means it means I am a Jedi Master, Charlie. Matt, the Jedi Master, is going to be my new nickname from here on out. Lesmeister, the Master. I'm a Jedi.
All right, that's a good nickname. I'm going to have to think of one for myself for next time.
all things, I had a couple buddies reach out to me about our podcast and how excited they are for us to get into the Star Wars universe. So this is a little, I guess, teaser,
a little taste
of some things we'll talk about. And Sebastian Stan, Luke Skywalker will be awesome. I think they need to do it. He's already connected with Disney. Be a great opportunity. What about Black Widow announcement? I know you were stoked about that.
Yeah. So they finally, this movie has been delayed so many times. It will have surpassed the year from when it finally comes out. They announced it's coming out July 9th. And what was the big news was that it's actually going to hit Disney Plus in their premium tier, as well as theater same day. There was rumors that they didn't really want to do this, or Kevin Feige was not really for putting the theatrical movies on Disney Plus like that. He wanted to set the theatrical still be in the theater and then have his shows live on Disney Plus. But just the times we live in right now, I mean, they want to get that movie out to the fans, because it's going to come to a point where, as much as I'm excited for that movie, if it doesn't come out now, no one's going to care, because the MCU is such a linear storyline, and this is actually something that's taken place in the past. So it's the timeline of this movie is after Civil War. But with all the shows that are coming out on Disney Plus and then the new movies, it was going to get left behind. So I'm happy that they finally made a decision to put it on Disney Plus. I mean, I'm going to be there day one. It costs $30, which I know some people aren't that happy about. They've complained, but I mean, that's not that much more to go see it in the movies. And then you have it, you can watch it as many times as you want. It lives there forever. It's not just a one and done.
All right. I agree. It makes me so excited, because I think a lot of people look to Kevin Feige. They look to Disney to like set trends, right? Look at Disney Plus and look at how everyone's trying to catch up. I mean, obviously the genius of Disney, they're always in front and always making game-changing advancements in the way we consume media. And to me, it's the first of many big movies. I hope, like 007 or the Fast and Furious saga, I hope people start to follow suit. Movie theaters, it's still going to be a while before people get comfortable. I told you, I built a movie theater in my house because I miss going to the movies every week. I don't feel like we're heading back anytime soon, even with the vaccine. So it got me really excited when they said Black Widow. I will pay $50. I think movie fans just want them to release movies. I mean, you and I talked about this. You and I thought that the Snyderverse, spoiler alert, we thought the Snyder Cut was awesome. We were all excited about it. And then I went and I rewatched a couple of Marvel movies. And to be honest with you, I think I just overhyped the Snyder Cut because of not seeing a new movie at that level, that scale, in such a long time that I got overexcited. Now, I still think the Snyder Cut is one of the better DC installments, but just let's release some new content. We'll pay what we have to pay. Honestly, the fans are willing to do it. And question for you, though. Do you think the hype that we saw on the internet, now I know Marvel is in a whole different league, the MCU is in a different league than the DCEU, but do you think that the hype of the Snyder Cut made them make that final decision? Hey, maybe a digital release, you know, direct to a Disney Plus channel might actually be really successful.
I mean, you know what? Personally, I don't think it mattered. I mean, I think Disney writes their own rule book and does what they want. I mean, this isn't going to be the first movie there. I mean, I'm a huge Disney fan. I've actually gotten all the premiere access for the movies that have come out. So it was Mulan and then Raya and the Last Dragon. Now they're not in the same league of a Marvel movie. I think that they clearly did pretty well for them to continue this strategy. And this is going to dominate. I think Black Widow is going to be a huge proponent to see if this happens more often for their bigger budget movies.
Yeah.
I mean, every Marvel fan wants to see all the Marvel movies. I mean, do I think Black Widow is probably the best one to have started this, you know, trial out with? Probably not, because I don't think it would be the same as if it was like an Avengers movie. Right. But like you said before, people are thirsty for content, and this is going to be almost 2 years since a new Marvel movie has come out. Like, people
are also thirsty for Black Widow, by the way. But good. Sorry.
No. But it's just, it's going to be, I mean, Disney has put so much money in Disney Plus. That is the future of the company. They're there now. I mean, they've done a reorganization of their entire company for that to be the crown jewel. So this is only more of this is going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is, I think it's going to light a spark. I know other movies have been released in digital, but not, again, superhero movies are on a different level. They're probably the only movie experiences where people sit there and cheer at a screen, which, you know, I just realized how much I miss going to see an MCU movie in a theater with people. You know, because I kept sending you clips of Endgame and just the people cheering when Cap took the hammer. And so, but yeah, I think it'll set, I think it'll spark the industry, and I think people will follow suit. So,
and the good thing too, the difference between this and like Warner Brothers is doing it right now, they actually have put their entire 2021 release schedule slate is going on HBO Max same day as theater. The difference between that and Disney Plus now, well, you don't have to pay to see those movies. Once most of them are only up for a month and then they're gone from the service, which they don't really, that's like in the fine print. So at least this, you could watch Black Widow as many times as you want. And the moment you pay for that, you have it forever, or until you don't have Disney Plus. But I don't see people unsubscribing to that at this point.
Right. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, I think every week that I think this is the spark for what's probably going to be some news hitting the airwaves, you know, for the remainder of this year. We're going to probably start off each episode with 5-10 minutes just diving into nerd news before we go into our review of the episodes of Falcon and Winter Soldier and the other content that we start streaming. But it's always fun to talk about this stuff. Yeah. But why don't we get into Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the Star Spangled Man, a great entry. So let's do a recap. Well, why don't you tell everyone what happened this episode? Spoiler alert.
Yeah. So like I was saying earlier, it starts off immediately. You see the new Captain America, John Walker. He's getting ready to kind of be officially once again released to the world, kind of in like a pep rally sort of thing. You get a kind of flashback about him in the beginning, which I mean most of us expected, but he's a very decorated war veteran. He was like the poster child for the army, and he was, you know, given, well, he said he earned this title. You see that he is very well equipped and trained. There's a, you know, a scene showing him training with the shield, and he is throwing that shield just like Steve Rogers was, and he had really command of it. He is, though, just, he's not a super soldier. He's just a normal guy. But you can tell he's very nervous about this. He's struggling with, you know, he's definitely excited to be the new Captain America. It's not like he didn't want it, but he knows how much weight it holds and how a beloved person Steve was. And I think throughout the episode, you learn more about him, and it's like, is he really that nervous about becoming the new Captain America? Because he seems pretty confident as the episode goes on that he starts off saying he's not here to replace Steve. But in my opinion, which, you know, I'd love to hear Matt's opinion as well, like, I think he fully is ready to become the new face, and he's going to leave Steve Rogers' memory in the dust.
Yeah, you know, he's given me serious Tony Stark vibes. If anyone here watches The Boys on Amazon, he's given off in the public eye. He's got the grin, he's got the quips, he's very kind of confident. I think the producers, I think the director knew by the end of the first episode that there would be a lot of people sipping the haterade on this guy, right? That the internet was in flames this week hating this guy, and they saw him for maybe 10 full seconds of screen time in episode one, and immediately they hate him, right?
Yeah.
I think they spent a lot of time this episode trying to get you to understand him. Now, does that mean they're trying to get us to love him? I don't think so, but I think they're trying to either trick us into being like, hey, maybe this guy ain't so bad, he's trying to help, or trying to get a just to stoke the flame of making us hate him even more. When I look at him, I even texted you. I mean, he's a man, you know, you say he's an ordinary man, and he doesn't have super abilities, but he is an extreme like athlete, right? He performs when they're testing his abilities, he's like a way above average. He's like from throwing the shield to his strength, his agility, all that stuff. They kind of went through a 30-second reel of all the things he's capable of doing, and then we got to see him fight, which we'll get into when we go deeper into the episode. And he's got some skills. Dude's got some serious skills. Right now, I think the jury's out on him. So far, I've only seen him try to help. And I see that there's a reluctance with Bucky. Definitely with Bucky. There's a reluctance with Falcon and Sam. They want to hate. They're like us. They're like the audience. They want to hate the guy. No matter what, we hate you. But I think there's going to be a few episodes of us trying to decide if he's a good guy or if he's a bad guy. So far, jury's still out. But yeah, the episode, what happened in this episode, a couple things we predicted last week ended up happening. Yeah. You had mentioned, I want a little bit more alone time to get into the backstories for Sam and Bucky. They met in the first 5 minutes of this episode.
Yeah, really exactly quick. Haven't seen it.
Yeah. They met to discuss that. So basically, to summarize it for people, Bucky shows up at Sam's base, basically, and he's really upset. And you don't know why he's so upset until later in the episode. And it has a really huge emotional toll. And this is when this is where Sebastian Stan really shined in this episode. But he shows up and he's like, Sam, you know, Steve gave you that shield because he wanted to he saw something in you that he didn't see in anyone else. And he wanted you to take up his mantle, and you just gave it away like it was garbage, like it meant nothing to you. And there was a huge weight in what he was saying. And you don't get into it until later in the episode. But, you know, what were you, I guess, satisfied with their first meeting? Or as you said earlier, did you hope that maybe it took a little bit longer?
That's funny. I mean, knowing it's only six episodes, as much as I maybe would have wanted to take a little bit longer, I'm not surprised that, I mean, they had a meet. They're both of their names are in the show. And I was satisfied. And I liked how Bucky handled his interaction with Sam. I mean, Bucky has every right to be upset with Sam, but Sam had every right to do what, you know, he felt was right. They're both coming from two completely different perspectives. I mean, Bucky, I know, is a little bit upset because he definitely, deep down inside, wishes Steve chose him to become the next Captain America, and he didn't. He chose Sam, and then Sam was like, I don't want it. And now they're in a situation where neither of them are Captain America, and Bucky would have just been better off if he got the shield handed to him from Steve. So that's right. Where, you know, his frustrations are definitely coming from. But I liked how they jumped right into it, and they went basically immediately to another amazing action scene that, in my opinion, just went toe to toe for that first action scene that we saw in the first episode.
It was pretty badass. And did you notice how quickly Bucky could just walk onto a military base after being pardoned and told he can't like serving? And he walks on the military base, just hops on a jet, and it's all good, just sitting there. And I was like, that I was surprised they just let that happen. But yes, that fight scene was great for multiple reasons. So more background, we're entering basically they've gotten a trace of these Flag Smashers, which we've now confirmed are super soldiers. We talked about that was one of our predictions in episode one. They are super soldiers. Turns out as the episode carries on, we find out that that serum has been, it's not just Bucky and Steve that are living super soldiers in this universe. And so you got the Flag Smashers group of super soldiers. We get a line of sight to where they are. Falcon drops in, and we find out a lot more. You know, if you read the comics, you knew, but in the MCU, you weren't really fully aware of Winter Soldier's abilities. You start realizing just how superhuman he is in this fight scene. Jumps out of a plane with no parachute, lands. There's a lot of comedy. What I liked about this scene was it gave you kind of the buddy cop, like the dynamic between Sam and Bucky in terms of how they're going to go into different types of battles, what their approach is. Bucky's like kind of go in and just start punching through people with his metal arm. And Falcon wants to be a little bit more strategic with it. But I thought that dynamic was super fun. The two of them together, it's brought some really funny moments. We got a glimpse of it in the previous movies. Namely Civil War. They had a few funny moments, like nodding when Steve Rogers kisses Sharon for the first time. That got a huge laugh in theaters. You're seeing more of that in this. What was your favorite part of that fight scene?
I mean, I love the banter between both of them while they were fighting, and they obviously definitely have different skill sets. But what's great too is, you know, I know we said last episode that, you know, they don't really like each other. It's like, it's more of like a love-hate relationship. They definitely respect each other, and, you know, they are there to have each other's backs. But I liked how my favorite part of the fight scene actually was when John Walker comes and his sidekick to help them. And it was
already called itself.
Oh yeah. Which is it's funny. I mean, he's setting himself up to be, you know, his Falcon / Winter Soldier to the Captain America. Which I think that he may have some super soldier abilities that we're gonna find out about. I think that's where we're gonna get into a point where I think John Walker is going to see that he needs that to, you know, fulfill his destiny as Captain America. And I think that's going to do a storyline where he kind of goes down the bad road that I keep saying. I think he's just going to be in cahoots with the Flag Smashers. I just do. Because there's going to be a reason why at the end of this, we predicted Sam is going to become Captain America. It's not just going to be because they're just going to give him the shield. I think his name was Lamar. Yeah, and his name was superhero name was Battlestar. I think they've gotten some of that serum. And how we were talking about the Super Soldiers before, the difference between Bucky and Steve is they were experimented on. I know Steve volunteered for it, but the Flag Smashers, they're stealing this serum to basically inject themselves to become Super Soldiers because they, you know, want to go back to the past 5 years after the snap. So I liked when they came in and were joining the fight because you could write there and see that they weren't quote unquote superheroes. They weren't, I know, you know, Sam and Bucky didn't necessarily, kick those guys' ass, but they came in and they were outmatched. And I liked to see that immediately that they are more, you know, they're not the superhero type yet. They're just two normal dudes, but I do think at one point we're going to see Lamar takes that serum.
You know, I think that's a great theory. And I could see. So first off, my favorite part, same thing. John Walker shows up. He shows he's got skills and he's throwing the shield. He's fighting super soldiers. And as far as we know right now, he doesn't have any serum. He has no special abilities, right? And he's holding his own. His reflexes are crazy. One of the coolest sequences is when Battlestar falls off the truck and he's about to hit the pavement. And new Captain America throws the shield. It lands underneath him, catches him so that he kind of slides off and doesn't get injured. So this guy's got reflexes. He's got really cool fight skills. And holds his own. He even gets a little cocky and he says, you just made a big mistake or whatever, and then gets his ass handed to him. To your point, I think the weight of the shield is going to, I think I agree with your theory in terms of the serum playing a bigger role. And then like somehow new Cap becomes involved with the Flag Smashers. What I think is going to happen is he's going to continue trying to track the Flag Smashers without the help of Sam and Bucky, right? They're obviously not looking. They don't want to work with him. Every time he offers help, they're like, we want nothing to do with you. That's not your shield, right? But what I think is going to happen is the weight of the shield is going to get to him, and he's going to get a hold of some serum, and he's going to inject himself. And the thing about the Super Soldier Serum, for those of you that maybe don't recall from like the first Captain America and any mention of the serum, is the serum amplifies not just your abilities, but it amplifies who you are as a human. And so that's why Steve Rogers was the perfect person to consume this serum and be Captain America, is because who he was as a person was a great, genuine, moral human being. And now, obviously, John Walker has some shortfalls. He has some insecurities. He, potentially has, on top of those insecurities, almost conversely, some ego, right? All of that pooled together with this serum could be a dangerous, dangerous combination that makes him the villain that we're both expecting him to become. So to that point, I think he's trying to do the right thing. I do. I don't think he has bad intentions. I think he's just trying to take on the mantle and do his duty as a Marine, as a soldier, right? But I think he gets his hands on some serum and I think he turns into a villain. And maybe it's his partner too. I think they make it more about him. That would be a very interesting path to head down. And I think you're right. I think you're onto something there. So that fight scene kind of did a few things, right? Introduced us to the dynamic that we're going to get with Falcon and Bucky, alongside, but not with the new Captain America. But then we get into the real emotional stuff, the weight of what we both kind of predicted would happen in this this show, which is kind of start focusing on kind of this racial tension that is existing in this world, that they kind of dive into this past that Bucky has, right? So we go and meet probably the best character, I guess, best small character or most emotionally impactful character so far in the show, in my opinion. You meet Isaiah. So why don't you talk a little bit about meeting Isaiah and what that meant for you?
Yeah, so we meet Isaiah, who we learn that, you know, back in the war, he actually was a super soldier, and he has had interactions with Bucky while he was the Winter Soldier. And he is a Black man. So that kind of, in that meeting, when, so Bucky brings Sam to meet him because he thinks that he can maybe help track down where this the serum is coming from, or how these other super soldiers are to be. And it's surprising to the viewer, because within the MCU, as far as we know, there has never been another, you know, that many other super soldiers, especially, I mean, Isaiah was technically a Captain America at one point when, you know, Steve was frozen and, you know, the army was using him as their leader, but no one never really heard of him. He's got no credit. He's kind of, you know, once he leaves the army, he just has, you know, not very good life. The country hasn't really taken that great care of him. And he's now just, you know, he's living in Baltimore. We actually get to meet his grandson, which I think was an Easter egg. I think he actually is going to be part of the Young Avengers. He plays a character called the Patriot. I think, not to get off topic, but the Disney Plus shows are setting up the Young Avengers to become the new team, with the, you know, two of the members were in the WandaVision, and now with Isaiah's grandson. And it really just, he wanted nothing to really do with talking to Bucky or Sam. You can tell it's ruined his life. And now Sam and Bucky, they leave Isaiah, not really getting any answers. And, you know, they're in the middle of the streets in Baltimore, Maryland, and they're kind of, you know, just arguing. And of course, police officers come and they immediately go directly to Sam. Like, what are you doing? Why are you, you know, what are you doing to this white dude? And, you know, Bucky, to his, you know, defense, is a great guy. He just starts being like, do you know who this guy is? Like, dude, we're just talking here. And then the cops all of a sudden are like, oh my God, like, that's the Falcon. That's the Avenger. We're so sorry. We're so sorry, sir. But it really just painted a picture of, once again, why the MCU really is just so set in reality of, you know, the racial tensions that are going on in our society still today. And it was a really hard scene, you know, to watch, especially in, you know, a Marvel show.
Yeah, honestly, to elaborate, right? So the Isaiah character, the actor did such a good job with the emotional toll. I almost teared up watching him kind of talk about, so he looks at Bucky and he's like, look at, basically alludes to, like, look at how you've been represented. Look at how Steve has been presented as this American hero, and you're both just living you've had, you know, whatever happened to you, but in the eye of the public, you're pardoned, you're fine. I spent 30 years in prison.
Yeah, for, I forgot,
trying to do the right thing, and getting experimented and tortured. And it's just implied because of the color of my skin. Right. And so that was a lot. And that obviously triggered Sam in a way that, you know, it was very emotional. And so he storms off, he goes in the street. Like you said, they start arguing. He's like, why didn't you ever tell me about him? Why didn't I know Isaiah existed? This is on you. Like, and it's true. He's like, you know, I've known you for how long? We fought in battles together, and you've never mentioned that this guy existed. And, you know, to Bucky's defense, he's like, you know, hasn't the guy been through enough? Was I supposed to just kind of bring, he's like, I needed him now because there's new super soldiers and I got to understand how and why. But back then, why was I going to try to drag him back through the mud and into this life, he's obviously been through way too much. So that caused a lot of friction. And then again, led to the, you know, argument out into the street and the police officers coming. And again, like, who was being like more angry? Honestly, you know, Bucky was yelling at, when the cops showed up, Bucky was the one yelling at Sam. And they're like, they look immediately to Sam and they're like, you know, what are you doing to this white guy? And it was shining the light on some of the things that are still happening today. And absolutely brutal. It reminded me of watching Straight Outta Compton and some of the stuff that happened. And that just pisses you off beyond belief. You're a decent human being. That just upsets you, and you don't even want to imagine what that's like every single day. But this leads to another huge moment in the show, because I think it leads to the beginning of the relationship building from new territory with Sam and Bucky. But basically, Bucky gets arrested. After all of that, Bucky ends up in cuffs because he actually broke his parole. He didn't show up to, what did I say last week? My favorite part of the episode, the therapy scenes. He forgot to show up to his therapist, which leads to one of the best scenes of the episode, in my opinion. But basically, Bucky, in order to, I guess the new Captain America chimes in. He's like, all right, this guy broke his parole, but guess what? He doesn't have parole anymore because I need him. And again, he's trying to do the right thing as far as what they're trying to present so far. But a condition of his release is he's got to have another session with the therapist, only this time Sam has to be in the session as well, which yields some really funny staring contests and banter and whatnot. What did you think of that? Couples therapy.
Yeah. Scene? I mean, that couples therapy scene was amazing. And it also just goes back to show they are just two great actors, and they really play well off of each other. And the one thing that I continually say that I'm loving about this show is, which I know we've talked about in the past, is this is really highlighting the characters of the MCU that weren't necessarily the star Avengers. Like, I'll be honest, like, for someone who's been a Marvel fan their entire life before it became like mainstream with all the movies, like, I don't even miss Captain America and the Iron Mans right now watching this show with these two guys. And they totally could lead a team. And as much as, yeah, you're going to miss the glory days of the original Avengers, like, I don't need them. And I think that's a testament to these two characters and the two actors playing them. And this show so far has had humor. It's, like we said, it's dealt with some really tough real life issues. The action's been amazing. It has everything you could ask for in a television show or a movie.
Yeah. So this scene, I'm watching and them doing the staring competition. I'm like, it takes a lot for me to laugh, like, out loud. Like, I'll chuckle to myself, but I'm like, I'm in tears laughing at the two of them staring at each other. And this so far, we talked a little bit about the director from last time, and it also has a lot to do with the writing, but like, they have this balance in this show so far where they can go like 1 second you're laughing, and then literally 1 second later, you're like on the verge of tears and really like, you know, I guess like sad or feeling for these characters. And I thought this is where Sebastian Stan took Bucky to the next level, took this character to the next level, and we really got an idea behind his psyche. But basically, the therapy works. It works for Bucky. I think Sam gets pissed off and runs out, which actually made me really upset with Sam. But what happens is, essentially, in this couple's therapy, activity, we find out that what's really eating at Bucky, it's basically, she's like, what's bothering you about this person? And he's like, you shouldn't have given up the shield. And then he's like, well, maybe I wasn't, you know, ready for it. Maybe, you know, maybe I didn't feel like I could live up to the responsibility of it. And basically Bucky and Sebastian Stan does an incredible job here. His voice cracks. It's really emotional. He goes, he's like, well, what does it matter to you anyway? He goes, because if Steve was wrong about you, he was wrong about me. Right. And he starts to like get choked up. And it's basically Steve was the only guy in the entire world when everyone was coming for the Winter Soldier, when everyone thought Bucky is evil. He's a bad guy. There's the guy that they knew in the 40s is long gone. Steve was the only one that believed in him and believed that he can come out from all of he had been through the brainwash and the Winter Soldier persona. And so basically what he's saying is like Steve believed in me, believed that I could change for the better and that I could, redeem myself to the world. And if he's wrong about you taking up the Captain America mantle, then he's wrong about me. And that my whole self-worth and the whole reason that I'm still like carrying on, checking off names off the list, trying to go through these steps to like redeem himself, it's all for nothing. And so there's a hint of that. And then there's also a hint of like, you know, that's my best friend in the whole world. And he didn't even give me the shield. He gave it to you. So there's a hint of jealousy there too. But Sebastian Stan owned that scene and got me pretty damn choked up because it's like, okay, now I understand this guy's psyche to a whole new level. And now I need to rewatch all the movies with Winter Soldier because my appreciation for the character is at an all-time high right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. You really feel for Bucky. And, you know, there's at times where, you know, I kind of wish that he would become the next Captain America. I understand why. I'm pretty sure it's going to be Sam. It just kind of has to be for whatever reason. But I really hope Bucky gets to stay within this universe with Sam rather than just ride off into the sunset because he really is showing to become a fan favorite. Definitely. I know for you and even for me as well.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, we'll mention quickly like the next big reveal for the episode and then get into like our favorite parts and who takes the shield and all that stuff. But basically we end the episode where I guess Falcon and Winter Soldier or White Wolf, as they made a great mention.
Yeah, that was amazing.
they basically find out or decide that they need to go see a past villain that by this point, if you're listening to the show, you should definitely know who we're talking about. But before we get into that, it kind of, I think what we found out on this episode is that there's now two episodes with reveals. Do you think every single episode is going to have a reveal of a major character or something and end like it does the last two?
I don't. Like, I kind of like that it's playing out that way, but I think it's just because we're in a serialized format. It's just a good way to end an episode, but we're going to get to a point where all the major characters are going to be revealed, in my opinion. Like, the next episode may be the Carter reveal, but I feel like...
I think they're going to do it like that.
I just feel like she needs to come in earlier on in the episode, not towards the end. Like, I don't know if she's not going to be in half of the series. But
can't you see them getting their ass handed to them and then she shows up and like saves them or something at the end of last episode and then it fades to black?
No, I mean, it you bring up a really good point. I mean, it's definitely working. I know I had expectations like that for WandaVision and they didn't come true. So maybe that's why I'm thinking
Yeah, you're overthinking. Yeah, your expectation. But who's the reveal? Tell everyone. Spoiler alert.
Zemo, who we last see in Civil War.
Yes, the big, the bad Zemo. he was in Civil War, and while everyone's main focus in Civil War was on the dynamic between Cap and Iron Man, there was the big bad in the background. He did do a lot of damage. He's got a lot of anger. He's currently sitting locked up thanks to the mighty Avengers, particularly Captain America, locking him up at the end of Civil War. But turns out they need to learn from him what he knows about super soldiers, the serum, the history behind it, and to try to bring, you know, use that information to bring down the Flag Smashers. So, you know, I'm excited for the dynamic. I think Bucky's going to have a really hard time. We haven't seen how they're going to interact with him yet. I think they'll probably start the next episode with that kind of one-on-one, or I guess two-on-one FaceTime. I think Bucky's going to struggle keeping that metal arm to himself, though, that because that guy brainwashed him and used him to his own means. I think it's going to show again. I am now hyper Sebastian Stan fan. I went from like skeptical in the guy to like now I love the guy. I think he's proven himself in these first two episodes. I can't wait to see how he acts in that one-on-one scene with Zemo. I think it's gonna be really, again, another powerful scene, another deep dive into the psyche of Bucky at this point in time. It makes me just want to see episode 3 right freaking now, which is what this show is doing a really good job at, which is keeping us glued to our television screens.
The thing I think that's going to be interesting about his reveal, though, is leading up, obviously he's a villain, and one thing that's really exciting about him in this show, which I know some fans were upset about in the Civil War movie, is he didn't have his like comic accurate costume, which he is going to in the show, which is awesome. But I do think he's actually going to be working and helping Sam and Bucky. It's like you said, I totally agree. I think it's going to be hard for Bucky to accept, but I think everyone, they want you to just assume he is the big bad. I hate to keep going back to this over and over, but the real big bad of the show is John Walker. They've marketed the show that it's going to be Zemo, and I don't think, I mean, the guy's not a good guy, but he, I think, is going to help feed them information that they need to take down the Flag Smashers and then ultimately the good old new Captain America.
So you think they're going to break him out, or do you think the government's just going to give him, like,
I don't think they're going to break him out. I think they're just going to give him, them access to him. Unfortunately, I don't think he's going to be as big a part of the show as I thought he was going to be in the beginning. I think he may be one or two episodes and that's it.
Maybe. I think you're right, though. I think they'll use him to their advantage. I think, honestly, I think new Cap is going to get them the access because he's trying to help still. And then it's going to lead to, I personally think he's going to somehow get away, end up with the Flag Smashers, and that's going to somehow play a role in how the John Walker, again, bold prediction, John Walker ends up taking Super Serum. I think that's all going to connect. I think he's going to be a bigger role, maybe not as much screen time, but I think his role is going to be impactful in terms of how the rest of the season plays out in a big way. I'm expecting big things. You don't bring a big bad in from a movie back to a limited series or hopefully an extended series, because I love it, in this way and not use them to a huge end, in my opinion. We'll see.
Not to cut you off, but one thing as well that we kind of glance over a little bit, how before we get to the reveal that Bucky and Sam are going to go and find him, they do have one more altercation with John and Lamar, kind of like that one last, like, dude, you're gonna, like, let's team up and, you know, solve this, stop these Flag Smashers. And that's where, in my opinion, John went from being, I really want to help, I'm here to for the greater good, to he really became cocky, in my opinion. It was like, if you don't want to do it my way, then get the hell out. You're not with us. And, you know, obviously Sam and Bucky did not take well to that, and I think that's the last time they have any interactions with that team in a good light. I don't know what your opinion is on that, but
yeah, I agree. I think it's the start of, you know, I think at some point there's only, again, I'm being very sympathetic or empathetic to new cap, I guess, this episode, because he hasn't done a lot yet to actually warrant this type of treatment. So, but I think there's only so many times you could try to help. Then you're just like, all right, forget you guys. I'm going to do things my way. And it's going to fuel his ego a bit. Like, all right, guys, guess what? I am Captain America and I'm going to do things my way. And he's going to become a problem as a result. And so I agree. I think that was probably the last interaction that's like somewhat friendly. I think it's going to start getting to a pretty, pretty rough dynamic between that, I guess, foursome, the two, I guess, duos at this point. But yeah, I guess this leads to, you know, a lot of characters this week, you know, getting a lot of more extended screen time. You know, I don't think it was Sam focused like episode one was. I think there was a lot more shared screen time. But who do you think takes Cap's shield this week?
I think this week definitely the shield should go to Bucky.
Bucky
definitely. He really, you know, had his heart on his sleeve of why he really wanted to be Captain America, and I honestly believe he deserved it. And he, I like how he also, for all the hard things he's going through right now, he went immediately to go help Sam because, you know, he wants, it shows how much he cared for Steve and kind of how you elaborate on before. He's the only guy who ever really believed in him. Everyone just looked at him as the killing machine he was. And I think he wants to go out there and honor his legacy and get that shield back from John.
Yeah, you know, if we were giving shields to actors, I would have gave it to Sebastian Stan this week. As a character, yeah, I think he, you know, it's one of my favorite characters in the comics and in the movies. But I don't think he takes the shield this week for me. I'm going to give the shield to one person, but I want to give an honorable mention. Okay. All right. And you're going to hate my honorable mention. So I'm going to start with that. Okay. My honorable mention's John Walker. Ooh. Honorable mention's that because so far, all we've seen is him trying to help, trying to live up to the Captain America mantle, and kicking some ass as a human. Okay. Kicking ass. And without him this episode, Sam and Bucky would have been in some deep shit. And, he showed up at the right time. He helped them. He also helped Bucky get out of the trouble with the, you know, the breaking parole. So far, he's only helping. So to me, you know, right now he's living up to the shield as far as I'm concerned. Again, as far as the story has so far, I know we have our suspicions, but to be fair, so far in the story, he kind of has the shield and he's earned it. But that's just my honorable mention. Who I'm giving the shield to this week is Isaiah. Right. I'm giving it to Isaiah because the weight that that character is now going to have on my mind, on my heart, while I watch, he could not show up the rest of the series, and I'm never going to stop thinking about him. And it just, he had 5 minutes of screen time, and he owned it. The character owned that scene to a point where the emotional weight of being a super soldier that wasn't put on this pedestal like the rest of them, of how that connects to everyone's experience has taken the serum, how it connects to the racial tension. That's an obvious huge part of this show. He takes the shield this week for me.
That's a great pick. I mean, he definitely deserves it in his own right.
Yeah. So, you know what made me, you know, decide that actually, I wasn't sure where I was going to go with this episode, but when you said he was a Captain America in his own right earlier in this episode, It sealed the deal. I was like, okay, someone else is thinking the way I'm thinking. And that's when I was like, okay, he's getting the shield. So
talk a little bit more about John Walker real quick. So you bring up, it's just interesting how we have different points of views on this character, because when I look at him, when he says, okay, I'm going to get Bucky done with his parole, he's using that, in my opinion, as a white privilege sort of way of, I'm the new Captain America, I'm going to do whatever the hell I want, and I need them to make myself look good, because he's not going to get anything done without Sam and Bucky, in my opinion. And I thought he had more, he didn't have good intentions with that. He was just doing it because he needs him.
Yeah, well, he did actually say that at one point.
He did, okay.
He remember, and so you're right. He did say at one point in the episode that, well, hey, look, I'm having a hard enough time, you know, convincing everyone that I'm able to be this Captain America. It'd be a lot easier if I had you on my side, Sam. And then that's when Sam was like, there's always that line.
Oh, you remember right. that? I do. I forgot about it, but yep.
He basically said, there's always that last line. And that's when that really that any hope of those two working together in, I guess, you know, like, at all working together, but working together in unison, just got thrown out the window when he said that. Like, basically, Sam, I need you so that the public thinks that I'm a good Captain America. And he's like, yep, that's why you're not Steve.
But so, that being said, what would you rate this episode? I know last week we gave pretty high marks for episode one.
Yeah. It's still a great episode. I think this one was more of a building block to get to really start, I guess, bridging the gap from like the pilot episode to what's about to come. So I don't think it was a perfect episode. It felt short. I wanted more, which is a good thing. But I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. I think there was just a little bit missing. I wanted just a little more, maybe 10 more minutes to string things together a little bit better. But still, I mean, 8 out of 10 from me is ultra high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. So last week I gave episode one a 10 out of a 10. This week, I still love this episode. I love the series. It wasn't perfect. I'm going to go 1 point higher than you and give it a 9 out of 10. I still, you know, it flowed really perfectly from episode one to two. This is obviously going to be a big, giant, like 6-part movie. I loved everything about it. Definitely was setting up some more characters, which is why I don't think it was as fast paced as episode one. I wish they were longer too. That's one thing that I've been a little disappointed about some of the Disney Plus shows is, when all these shows were first announced, I would have expected them to be more on lines of like a true hour long show, like they would be on an HBO, where these, even though Disney Plus is not, unless they're telling us down the road, there may be an ad version, but they've structured them as there could be ads within them. They're more 45 minutes instead of being an hour long. So yeah. I really wish they were a little bit longer, but I know they've said that, you know, they kind of have made these episodes, made like this big long movie, and they're kind of just cutting them up into episodes, and the lengths will be what they be. Because I know Mandalorian, that episode lengths were all over the place. Some were 30 minutes and some went up to 50.
Right. Yeah. And honestly, there's something to be said about wanting more and leaving some things on the cutting room floor so as to not drag out. Yeah, we got a lot. When you really think about it, you got a lot in this episode. You got the experience more of John Walker. You spent maybe 10 seconds of screen time last week, so you get to really start making your predictions on what his kind of role is going to be, and get more kind of fan theories established. You spent more time to diving into kind of Bucky's psyche, which I thought was great because it was like kind of passing the torch from Sam and understanding what he's dealing with and the weight that's on his shoulders in episode one, and only kind of touching on Bucky, whereas this was like a lot more understanding Bucky's motivations and his conscience and all of the way he's kind of the weight that he feels with the shield in particular and its location, and then also his relationship with Steve and his thoughts about himself. And then you got to get a lot bigger understanding of who the Flag Smashers are, what their goal is, which is, again, we now know their goal is to wipe out massive amounts of population to get back to the post-blip 5-year period of time where there was half the population. So they're probably going to be looking for like weapons of mass destruction or do something, which is where I think maybe Zemo plays a bigger role and how he can influence that. And that might tie into some of the things from Civil War. And then you also get some really good buddy comedy back and forth between the two starring roles. So it had everything you needed. I'm waiting for that next big episode where my head's exploding at levels that episode one was. But after watching this episode, I don't think that's going to be a stretch. I think we're going to see a string of episodes in this middle of the 6-episode run that are probably going to blow our minds. And then you ever hear about people that go to they read the last page of a book first?
Yeah.
I kind of want to watch the finale right now because I
too.
Fast forward and see, because I know it's going to be epic.
It like takes everything, all my power not to read all the spoilers online because there's definitely leaks out there.
Yeah. So last week, on top of the shield and who takes that, we kind of talked about like who our favorite character is thus far. And our favorite doesn't have to be who takes the shield, but who's your favorite so far now that we're 2 episodes in?
I still think my favorite's Sam. He's just like, for me, he's just a fresh take on a superhero character that I don't think has necessarily been done before. And I kind of like how the struggles he's going through, and he doesn't think he's perfect. And he has a very realistic attitude. Whereas like, I've never been the biggest Captain America fan. I've always leaned more towards the Tony Stark of the Marvel Universe, because he is, you know, Steve is just such a great guy that he didn't really have much moral dilemma, where I kind of like where Sam, who, like I've said multiple times, who I think is going to become the new Captain America, brings a little bit of a different take.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is a tough one for me because Sam's right up there, but you know, Bucky for me, I always liked the, I guess, underdog and someone that, you know, Bucky off the bat has nothing but redemption that's needed right now. He's not a hero yet. He's not really, obviously he's getting arrested. He's got a lot of really, you know, I guess negative perception of him. He's kind of not, he was on parole, all this stuff where he's got the world working against him. And his history working against him. So for me, I want to see him win. And again, I like what Sebastian Stan has done with the role. I love the character, badass fight scenes with him. White Wolf. I hope we get more of that. So far for me, loving Bucky and loving the path that he's on. It's like the yin and yang right now between those two characters, and either way, there's a reason they're both in the title of this show. So,
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, thank you everyone for taking the time to listen to another episode of our podcast. We'll definitely be back next week with episode 3 of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and obviously talking about other news that comes along in the nerd world. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you, guys. Signing off, Matt the Jedi.
And then, Matt. Charlie, I will have a nickname next week. Fisher.
Oh, classic.
See you guys soon. All right. Nerds be heard.
Nerds be heard.